Welcome to this deep dive, where we're going to be kind of unraveling this true genealogical mystery. And it's one of these cases that really kind of shows how DNA testing can just completely rewrite family histories. And also just how digging into old records can be like solving a puzzle with a lot of missing pieces. And we're going to be following the journey of Joseph Rodriguez, who starts out just wanting to learn about his paternal line in Monterrey, Mexico. But he ends up uncovering a story full of twists and turns, including a surname change that had been hidden for generations.
That sounds really interesting.
Yeah, so let's dive right in. So Joseph's quest begins with his fifth great-grandfather, Pedro José Rodríguez, who died in 1804 in Monterrey. And he has traced his lineage back that far, but can't find Pedro José's marriage record.
Yeah, that's a pretty common problem for genealogists.
Very common. So he decides to take a Y chromosome DNA test, hoping to find connections to relatives, even if their last names have changed over time.
That's a smart move. Y chromosome DNA is passed down directly from father to son, making it a powerful tool for tracing paternal lineages, even when surnames have shifted over time. It's like following a genetic breadcrumb trail back through history.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. And those breadcrumbs lead to a surprising discovery. His closest Y DNA matches are all people with the surname Cavazos. Not a single Rodriguez to be found.
So no direct paternal line Rodriguez. Interesting.
Exactly. While waiting for the results of an even more detailed DNA test, he enlists the help of professional genealogist Claudia Casillas.
Great, Claudia's research really showcases what's called collateral genealogy, which involves looking at records of siblings and other relatives to find clues when you hit those dead ends. This approach often requires some creative thinking, piecing together information from a variety of sources.
I can see how that would be useful, especially when dealing with limited historical records, where it's like having to work around those missing pieces of a puzzle. So what does Claudia uncover using this method?
She starts with the baptismal records of Pedro José's children, and she notices something interesting. One of the godmothers is named Francisca Rodriguez, and it turns out she's connected to a man named José Antonio Rodriguez.
Wait, are we talking about a different Rodriguez now?
We're moving laterally through the family tree, trying to find connections that could bridge the gap in Joseph's direct paternal line. And this is where it gets interesting. Claudia finds José Antonio Rodriguez's will from 1758, and it confirms a link to Pedro José. Even better, it extends the lineage back one more generation to a man named José Rodriguez, born around 1675.
So they managed to push the timeline back even further. But I have a feeling the story doesn't end there.
You're right, the plot thickens. Claudia then digs into marriage dispensations.
Which were special permissions granted by the church when couples were closely related, something fairly common in colonial Mexico. Two of Pedro José's sisters needed these dispensations to marry.
I imagine those records might contain some intriguing details,
Yes.
especially if they had to get special permission to marry.
Absolutely.
What does she find?
She tracked these records down to the Archdiocese of Guadalajara, which had jurisdiction over Monterrey at the time. The language used in the dispensations is what's really fascinating. They mention a certain person that at present would not be convenient to name as a key relative.
Interesting.
This nameless individual, heavily implied to be illegitimate,
Wow.
turns out to be the link connecting José Rodríguez to the prominent Cavazos family.
Hold on, so we're back to the Cavazos family again. Can you help me visualize how this all fits together?
Imagine a family tree. The dispensations reveal that José Rodríguez, Pedro José's father, was likely the son of a man from the Cavazos family.
More specifically, a sibling of a woman named Margarita Cavazos. It's like fitting the pieces of a puzzle together.
I think I'm starting to see the bigger picture here. We have this nameless ancestor who connects the Rodriguez line to the Cavazos family. And we have these Y DNA results showing a strong link between Joseph and individuals with the Cavazos surname. It seems like the pieces are falling into place.
It's like having two independent lines of evidence converging to tell the same story. The documentary research hints at a connection, and the DNA results provide the scientific backing to confirm it.
So what about those more detailed DNA results Joseph was waiting for? Did those provide even more clarity to this family mystery?
They sure did. Joseph took a test called the Big Y-700, which gives a very high-resolution picture of his Y-DNA.
Mm-hmm.
The results narrowed down his matches even further.
Okay.
Two of his three closest matches at this level were Cavazos descendants with origins in Nuevo León, Mexico.
Wow, this is getting really specific.
And get this, one of those matches was a direct descendant of Antonio Cavazos, who was a son of Captain Juan Cavazos.
Wow.
A key figure in the early settlement of Monterrey.
That's incredible. So they were able to trace Joseph's ancestry all the way back to one of the founders of Monterrey. That's quite a lineage to uncover.
It really is. The DNA evidence in combination with the clues from the marriage dispensations and other historical records helped to establish Captain Juan Cavazos as Joseph's 9th great-grandfather.
Wow.
This case is a great example of how DNA testing can rewrite family histories.
This is absolutely fascinating.
Right.
But I have to ask, if they know the 9th great-grandfather was Captain Juan Cavazos, wouldn't they also know which of his sons was the father of Jose Rodriguez? It seems like that would be the next logical step.
That's the question that still lingers.
Right.
Captain Juan Cavazos had several sons.
Mm-hmm.
And while the research strongly points to one of them being the father of Jose Rodriguez, the specific son remains a mystery. It's like solving one mystery just to uncover another.
It seems like Joseph's genealogical journey is far from over. But before we delve into the life of Captain Juan Cavazos and the potential for more discoveries, we need to take a moment to reflect on what we've learned so far. We've seen how DNA testing can break down brick walls and lead to unexpected connections.
Right.
And how collateral research can help fill in the gaps in our family trees.
Absolutely.
When we come back, we'll explore the life and times of Captain Juan Cavazos, the newly discovered patriarch of this fascinating family line.
Stay tuned.
I can't wait.
Welcome back. Before we left off, we were talking about how Joseph Rodriguez, through a combination of DNA testing and meticulous genealogical research, discovered that his 9th great-grandfather was Captain Juan Cavazos, a prominent figure in the early days of Monterrey. It's not every day you find out you're related to someone who helped establish a city. It really is remarkable. To truly appreciate his story, we need to step back in time to 17th century. Monterrey Juan Cavazos was one of the original settlers arriving sometime before 1660. His last will and testament, dated 1680, offers us a glimpse into his life. It states that he was originally from the Villa de Santa Maria in Old Castile, Spain. He was the legitimate son of Gabriel Cavazos and Simona del Campo.
So he journeyed from Spain to the New World and ended up playing a key role in the founding of Monterrey. I can only imagine what that experience must have been like. Did his will reveal anything else about his life in the city?
It did. He mentions being the widower of Elena de la Garza, a native of Monterrey with whom he had 9 children. He also lists his possessions, including land, livestock, and even indigenous servants, which gives us an idea of his social standing and wealth in early Monterrey.
9 children. That's a big family, even by today's standards. It's fascinating to think about how many descendants he might have living today. But I'm still curious about the mystery surrounding which of his sons might have been the father of Jose Rodriguez. Did the research offer any clues to narrow it down?
Unfortunately, that remains a bit of a puzzle. We know that Jose Rodriguez was likely born around 1675. Captain Juan Cavazos had 4 sons who could have potentially been his father, Friar Juan Antonio Gabriel and Jose Cole. There's also the possibility that Jose Rodriguez's father was an illegitimate son of Captain Cavazos, which was not uncommon during those times.
So the mystery continues. It must be both exciting and frustrating for Joseph to be so close to uncovering the full story, but still have this missing piece. It makes you wonder what other secrets might be hidden within those branches of the family tree.
I'm sure it is. But even with this lingering question, think about how much he's learned about his family history. He's gone from a brick wall at his 5th great-grandfather to uncovering a direct connection to one of Monterrey's founding fathers and a whole new branch of his family tree with the Cavazos surname.
You're absolutely right. And this case really highlights the importance of collateral research in genealogy. If Claudia hadn't looked at those marriage dispensations for Pedro José's sisters, they might never have found that crucial link to the Cavazos family. It shows how looking beyond the direct line of ancestry can lead to amazing discoveries.
Exactly. It's a reminder that sometimes you need to think outside the box and explore different avenues to find the answers you're seeking. And of course, the DNA evidence played a vital role in confirming these connections and ultimately solving the mystery of Joseph's paternal line.
It's incredible how DNA testing can provide that scientific backing to support the paper trail uncovered through genealogical research. It's like having two pieces of a puzzle fit perfectly together. But speaking of puzzles, remember that nameless ancestor who linked the Rodriguez line of the Cavazos family? It turns out there's more to that story.
You're right. Those marriage dispensations weren't just bureaucratic documents. They were windows into the social norms and family dynamics of colonial Mexico. The fact that this ancestor's name was deliberately omitted suggests that there was something sensitive, perhaps even scandalous, about their identity.
Okay, now you've got my attention. A potential scandal in colonial Monterrey. Tell me more.
Well, the dispensations heavily implied that this nameless person was illegitimate. In those times, illegitimacy carried a significant social stigma and could damage a family's reputation. It's possible that the family intentionally kept this ancestor's name out of official records to protect their standing within the community.
That makes sense in the context of the time, but it's also a bit heartbreaking to think that someone's existence was essentially erased from history because of societal pressures. It really highlights how much social norms have changed over time.
It does make you think about the stories that might be hidden or lost throughout history due to similar situations. But even though this ancestor's name remains unknown, their genetic legacy lives on in Joseph and all of his descendants. And that in itself is a powerful statement about the enduring nature of family ties, even when they've been obscured or deliberately hidden.
You hit on a really important point. Genealogy isn't just about names and dates. It's about uncovering the human stories behind those facts and figures.
Mm.
And sometimes, as we've seen with Joseph's case, those stories can be messy, complicated, and full of secrets that were carefully guarded for generations.
It's those hidden stories, those unexpected twists and turns that make genealogy so fascinating. Joseph's journey is a testament to the fact that the past is never truly lost, and there's always something new to discover about our family history.
Absolutely. We've gone from a simple genealogical question to a captivating tale involving a city founder, a hidden surname change, and even a hint of scandal in colonial Mexico.
And it all started with someone asking, who was my ancestor? It goes to show that you never know what you might uncover when you start digging into your family history.
Welcome back to the Deep Dive. It's remarkable how Joseph Rodriguez's journey started with a simple question. You know, who was Pedro José Rodriguez's father? And that one question led him down this path of discovery, uncovering generations of hidden family history.
Yeah, it's a great example of how just one simple question can spark this much larger exploration. And his curiosity not only revealed his paternal lineage, it also unveiled, you know, hidden connections, a surname change, and even gave us this glimpse into the social dynamics of colonial Monterrey.
And let's not forget about technology and the role it played in all of this.
Right.
Without Y-DNA testing, it's very possible that Joseph might never have even known about his connection to the Cavazos family. It really highlights how science can help us piece together the past.
Absolutely. DNA testing has revolutionized genealogical research. It's allowed us to make connections that would have been incredibly difficult, if not impossible, to uncover through traditional methods alone. But as we've seen in this case, it's most powerful when you combine it with thorough documentary research.
It's like having two detectives working on the same case, each bringing their own unique sense of skills and perspectives. And speaking of bringing history to life, let's talk more about Captain Juan Cavazos.
Okay.
The patriarch of this fascinating family line. We know that he was a prominent figure in Monterrey, but what else can you tell us about him?
We touched on it a little earlier, but I think it's worth reiterating.
Okay.
Captain Cavazos was one of the original settlers of Monterrey, arriving sometime before 1660. And his last will and testament offers some fascinating insights into his life. For example, he stated that he was born in the Villa de Santa Maria in Old Castile, Spain. He was the legitimate son of Gabriel Cavazos and Simona del Campo.
So he was a Spaniard who made his way to the New World and helped establish a new city. That must have been an incredible experience. What else did you learn about his life in Monterrey?
His will also revealed that he was a widower. His wife, Elena de la Garza, was born in Monterrey.
Okay.
And together they had 9 children.
Wow, 9 children. It makes you wonder how many descendants he might have living today.
Right.
It would be fascinating to see if any other descendants of Captain Juan Cavazos have taken DNA tests and if any of them match with Joseph.
Wouldn't that be something? It would really bring this whole story full circle. DNA testing has enabled people to connect with distant relatives they never knew existed.
Right.
It's truly remarkable.
Even without those additional connections, this case is a powerful reminder of how genealogy can illuminate hidden chapters in our family histories. It makes you think about all the stories that might be out there just waiting to be discovered.
Absolutely. And it really underscores the importance of preserving historical records.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the marriage dispensations, baptismal records, and wills that Claudia Casillas used in her research were essential in piecing together this family mystery.
Right.
Without those documents, we would only have half the story.